Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast. I'm John Foley. In this podcast, we'll talk about signals that may be associated with human longevity. The original research for the basis of this discussion was published in the March 4th issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. A summary of this paper appeared in the Editor's Choice section of Science Signaling on March the 11th. Science Signaling editor Liz Adler joined me on the telephone to talk about it. Liz, let's start with the title of this research paper: Functionally Significant Insulin-Like Growth Factor 1 Receptor Mutations in Centenarians. What is insulin-like growth factor 1?
Insulin-like growth factor 1, or IGF-1, to give it a slightly less unwieldy name, is a circulating peptide that mediates many of the actions of growth hormone, which is a substance produced by the pituitary that, as the name implies, is critical to stimulating growth during childhood. Children who don't produce enough growth hormone can have stunted growth, and children that produce too much can develop gigantism. Interestingly enough, growth hormone stimulates the production of IGF-1, which in turn mediates many of growth hormone's effects.
Well then, you were talking about children there, but why were these researchers studying IGF-1 in centenarians? Do these compounds have something to do with people living so long?
Well, there's a fair amount of evidence suggesting that in various animals, these compounds do have something to do with lifespan. In mice, for instance, mutations that lead to decreased production of growth hormone, or decreased sensitivity to it, and therefore to decreased serum concentrations of IGF-1, are associated with longevity.
Is it just changes in IGF-1 that are responsible for increased longevity, or are there other changes involved?
It seems as though other changes in the IGF-1 signaling pathway can affect longevity as well. For instance, there was a study showing that female mice with less of the receptor protein that mediates the response to IGF-1 lived longer than those with normal amounts of the IGF-1 receptor. And even in flies and worms, it's been shown that decreased activity of components of the signaling pathway downstream of the receptor that corresponds to the vertebrate insulin and IGF-1 receptors is associated with longevity. But there's certainly other things besides IGF-1 signaling that affect longevity.
Well, what about in us? Do the same IGF-1 processes occur in humans to extend our lifespans?
That's been much less clear. Growth hormone secretion and the amount of IGF-1 in blood goes down with age. And administration of growth hormone, which in turn increases circulating IGF-1, may reverse some of the physical effects of aging. You may remember that there was a fuss about that in the news some years ago. And earlier this year, actor Sylvester Stallone, who's 61 years old, admitted taking growth hormone to get ready for the new Rambo movie. So one of the main purposes of the paper was to study the relevance of IGF-1 signaling to aging in people.
So in this study, they looked at IGF-1 in people over 100 years old?
Well, not exactly. Because of the progressive loss of IGF-1 in older people, the researchers actually examined their children, who were pretty old themselves, and compared them to people of a similar age and ethnic background whose parents were not centenarians.
What did they first examine?
Well, they looked at the amount of IGF-1 in the blood, and they found that female children of centenarians had higher amounts of IGF-1 than did the female controls, that is, women who didn't come from such long-lived families, whereas there were no differences in circulating IGF-1 between the male children in either group.
Were there any other differences?
Yes, there were. The female children of centenarians were a little shorter on average than were the controls, but there were no height differences among the male children.
But hang on. If these women had more IGF-1 in their blood than did the controls, and IGF-1 is supposed to stimulate cell growth, then how did these women end up being shorter?
Well, that's a really good question. It suggests that there may have been a decreased response to IGF-1 rather than a decrease in the amount of IGF-1 per se. Either their IGF-1 receptors are less sensitive, or they don't activate the next step in the signaling pathway as vigorously, or something downstream of the receptor isn't quite as active as usual.
So basically, because the response to IGF-1 was lower, these individuals were compensating by producing more IGF-1?
That's a reasonable explanation.
So what did the researchers do to try to find out what might be causing these differences?
They sequenced the DNA of female centenarians that were shorter than the average height and looked specifically at the genes for IGF-1 and its receptor.
And what did this analysis reveal?
Well, first off, there were no differences at all in their IGF-1 genes. In contrast, there was a lot of variability in the gene encoding the IGF-1 receptor. And interestingly enough, the likelihood of certain of these mutations occurring was significantly higher in centenarians than in the same control group of people from families that were not so long-lived. In other words, some of these mutations were found more frequently in the centenarians than in the controls. And the serum concentrations of IGF-1 in the centenarians with these receptor mutations were higher than in the centenarians without the receptor mutations.
Do we know what these mutations in the receptor gene caused?
When they compared immortalized lymphocytes from centenarians who had the mutations with those from centenarians without the mutations, they found that the amount of IGF-1 receptor on the lymphocyte cell surface was lower in the people with the gene mutation.
Were there any functional effects?
Yes. When lymphocytes are stimulated with IGF-1, there's an increase in the amount of phosphorylation of an intracellular molecule called AKT. IGF-1 stimulation of lymphocytes from people with mutations in the IGF-1 receptor gene resulted in lower amounts of phosphorylated AKT than in lymphocytes with receptors that didn't contain these mutations. That indicates that IGF-1 signaling in the centenarians with mutations was less effective. So the authors concluded that mutations in the IGF-1 receptor that affect IGF-1 signaling may be associated with a predisposition to longer life.
Thanks, Liz, for describing this interesting research into how the IGF-1 signaling pathway may play a role in regulating human lifespan.
My pleasure.
The article that we discussed was by Sue and colleagues and was titled Functionally Significant Insulin-Like Growth Factor 1 Receptor Mutations in Centenarians. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to us at sciencepodcast@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, the Science Society. Our producer is Robert Frederick. I'm John Foley, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for joining us.